Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you treat us in a way that we don't deserve. And Lord, we pray that we come and we just want to... We're very conscious that many people in your word heard your words, but some people didn't believe them. Some people found them too difficult. There's other people in the word that says these people praise me with their lips, but in their hearts they're far from me. And Lord, we don't want to be those people. We want to praise you with our lips and be close to you in our hearts. So Lord, I just pray that you'd speak as we gather around your word, that it will do us good and that will bring much fruit in our lives and in the community that we live in and the nations of the world. We ask this in your name. Amen. 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 So I've got four short Bible readings to look at first. Can we do four short ones? Yeah. And don't worry if you're new to church and this makes no sense to you. Okay, I will try and explain it. And if it still makes no sense to you after I've preached, then please tell me and I'll try and get better next time. So it says this in Exodus chapter 14, verses 11 to 13, says this. There's a theme. Hopefully you'll get the picture as we go on. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to this desert to die? What have we done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? Wow. Would it have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert?" Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." Everyone say hallelujah. Exodus chapter 16, verses 2. So that was Exodus 14. Now we've moved on a little bit. Exodus 16, verses 2 to 4. In the desert, the whole community had grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Oh, it's hard being a leader, isn't it? Then Israel said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." All praise the Lord. Numbers 14, verses 1 to 5. "That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. The Israelites grumbled against Moses," oh hallelujah, "and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to a land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives, our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' They said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.'" Oh, praise the Lord. And Luke chapter 24, verse 13, which makes no really sense, but hopefully it'll make sense. In the New Testament, of two of the disciples, "Now that same day, two men were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem." May God bless his word this morning. 16 years ago, after a long journey, which I explained probably a few months ago, me and Becky started dating. Okay? And it's one of those nervous when you've not had the first kiss yet, right? So it can be a bit awkward, right? So do you know, when you see them for the first time, do you peck them on the cheek? Do you hug them? What do you do? So she was coming to my house. We was going to have some pre-meal drinks and then I was going to take her out to a fancy restaurant. Yeah, I'm just giving you guys a lot of tips, right? So I spent all day, this is a true story, I spent all day cleaning the house because I was living on my own back then. So I cleaned the house ready for her. And, you know, you don't want to go too over the top with the cologne, but you want enough just to say that I'm trying, I'm working hard to impress you, but not too much. You know, you just got to get it in that sweet spot. And then the house was tidy and I was wearing my best stuff. And one of the first times she came around, she knocked on the door. I said, "Hello," bit of an awkward hug. "Are you going for the kiss? Don't you going for a kiss? Are you at that level that you don't really know?" It's really hard dating, is that right? It was back in my day. So she came in and said, okay, well, I'll take you out to a night restaurant. And we finally sat together after a whole journey of getting together. And we sat on my sofa. As I was sat on my sofa, out the corner of my eye, my ex-girlfriend's car came to park on the drive. Becky knows this story. She's okay with it. And because we've all, not all, but some of us have had ex-partners and different things. And so all of a sudden, I'm trying to talk to Becky, and my ex-girlfriend's car parks on the drive. So all of a sudden, my heart's going, ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-bum. So I said, oh, well, let's go out. Let's get ready to go. I said, well, I'm just in the middle of my drink. And she said, well, I'll go and powder my nose upstairs. So she went to powder my nose, and I'm thinking, do I tell her or not? And I saw her get out the car and knock on my front door. Ah! Ah! So as she was powdering her nose, I had to go to the door. And you know, like, the older you get, like, you deal with things a lot different. If you knew what you knew now, but you didn't back then. So I was quite polite, you know? I think I'd be quite different now, but because not unpolite, but straight to the point. And so I just opened the door and I was like, what are you doing here? By this time, Becky had clocked on, right? So she opened the bathroom window to listen to the conversation that we was having. I'm telling you all my stories from the start of the year. I don't know why. There's a theme going on. And so she opened and she was earwigging to everything that was said. So I was trying to say kind of like, what are you doing here? We've not seen each other in a while. It's just a bit strange. Anyway, because Becky had only just kind of, we've never been on a date, right? She has a bit of a, Andy's been seeing me and this Andy's old girlfriend as well. So she paces around upstairs, so much so that she cuts her leg on the wardrobe. This true story. And so I had this incredible awkward moment where I'm trying to embark on a new relationship, yes, but at the same time I'm trying to navigate and disentangle myself from the old. You understand what I'm saying? Finally, what was good is Becky, as my wife is so brilliant, she had a bit of a moment, and then she said, sorry, Andy, I'm having a bit of a moment, because I'm saying, oh, please, like, it's took us a lot more than a year to get together. This is one of our first dates. Please don't do this. She said, no, Andy, it's me just being, yeah, I know you like me. And we went out, and we had a fantastic dinner, and we got married, and we got two children. Why am I telling this story? And why? What on earth has this got to do with this story? That's a true story. Is my title this morning, I want to talk about leaving the old and embracing the new. Yes. Amen? Come on, let's give God some clap. Leaving the old and embracing the new. It's an important subject, church, for us to look at, because our name is not Old Horizon Church. It's not Old Horizon Church. It's not yesterday's Horizon Church. That's not our name. And our name is not the same Horizon Church, but our name is called New Horizon Church. Come on, it's called New Horizon Church. Because the reason why it's called New Horizon Church, because we serve a God that loves new things, new things, who loves new things. It's very powerful, church. But you see, the challenge is to get new things, we've got to leave the past to embrace the new. Yeah? And if you're not that convinced, it says in Isaiah 440, chapter 43, verse 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. God right now is not doing yesterday's thing. He's not doing an old thing. He's not doing the same thing. In your life this morning, God wants to do a new thing. God's brought you here this morning from all of the different communities because God wants to do a new thing in your life. That's what we believe as New Horizon Church. We serve a God that wants new wine. Everyone say amen. I'm not talking about literally new wine in the communion, but I'm talking about God wants to pour out his spirit in a new way. Yes, but to handle the new wine, God needs new wineskins. We want to, for the last 10 years, we've been building a new wineskin. Because if you put old wine into old wineskins, new wine into old wineskins, it would break. You've got to have a new wineskin for new wine. And if God's got new wine for your life, then guess what? God wants something new. You've got to have a new wineskin. I'll talk more about that later. We serve a God of new birth. John chapter 3 verse 21. We serve a God of new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. God wants us to sing a new song. Yes, a new song. Not yesterday's song. You know when you kind of get a song and you kind of, I'm brilliant at this. You love a song so much that you play it so much that you get fed up of it and completely sick after it and you overplay it. It's like a record player going over and over and over again. God wants to say it's time to change the record. He wants a new song. Psalm 96. God says, I put a new song in your mouth. Not yesterday's song, not an old song. Not the same song, but a new song. New song. God wants us to have a new purpose. Mark 12, verse 30. A new calling. God picks up a man named Saul, turns him into Paul, the greatest church planter, man of God that's ever lived. Acts 19, 15. God wants to give you a new mission. Amen. We're celebrating the death and resurrection of Christ. And now we're going to get the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. A new mission. And if you don't like new things, well, you're really in trouble because in the Bible it says God's making a new heaven. Yes? Revelation 21 verse 1. And he's not just going to make a new heaven, but he's going to make a new earth as well. And then if it really freaks you out about new, in Revelation 21 verse 5 it says, and he who is seated on the throne says, behold, I'm making all things new. Come on, let's give God a big round of applause. We need some new stuff in our lives. We need some, yeah. So from the youngest to the oldest member here today, God wants new things for your life. I believe God's brought you here, brought you to this place because God's got a new horizon for you this morning. It's a new horizon for you. And but like we've kind of discovered, the challenge was, as I was entering into the promised land with Becky, yes, and whenever we enter into something that's new, we only can embrace the new, we've got to leave the old. Yes? See, everybody wants new things, but not newness, but no one wants to leave anything. I don't know if you've understood that, but sometimes that's life is, that if you want to go to a place, you've got to leave a place. Yeah? And sometimes, actually, when we leave a place to step into where God wants us to be, sometimes the devil's not that happy. Yeah? And he tries to engineer things in our lives to make us disorientated and make us find things difficult. But we got to be determined as a church that to embrace the new, whatever that may look like to you, you've got to leave the old. Yes? You can't have Pharaoh and Canaan. You can't do it, church. Because that's yesterday. That's old. God wants to know what's happening today. What's God speaking to you about today? You know, every word, well, we know God's word's eternal, but you know, God wants to do something today. What was the last thing that God spoke to you about? What was the last thing that God asked you to do? What revelation are we carrying to usher in the new? I hope you're getting excited this morning, because I really believe God's got something new. I believe God's got something new for me in my life, that we serve a God of the new. We're New Horizon Church. But sometimes it's hard to disassociate and untangle ourselves from the old. And anyone's been in a previous relationship says, amen, Andy, you're talking my language. You see, the words that we had just read about God's people, that can you believe that God's people in Egypt, God delivers them and gives them a new horizon, yes? Yet God sent Moses, he empowered Aaron, he sent the plagues, he sent the Passover lamb. I don't know if you don't know the Bible, you read it when you get home. God does this amazing thing. And sometimes I've seen in my life when new people have become Christians and God does amazing things. You know, if you've just come to faith, just ask God for anything. Because that's an amazing season of your life. Because God wants to show himself to you of how much he wants to break forth into your life. But then what happens is we move on, as in the romance period or the honeymoon period. And then God puts us into desert situations, not because he wants to kill us, but he wants to grow our faith. Yes? So we get to know him. That's important. And so embracing the, leaving the old, embracing the new. And so it's just so sad that after all that God did, these people were saying, we want to go back to be slaves. Can you believe it? I mean, when you read this story, if it wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't believe you. Yeah, but it's in the Bible, so we've got to wrestle with it. And the Bible speaks about every human heart. And if it's in the Bible, church, then it must be an issue for our lives as well. Yeah? So we're just going to look at it for the remainder, because before I feel a prophetic word, before you embrace the new, you've got to leave the old or disassociate or untangle yourself with the old. Whoops. Sorry. I haven't weirded myself. I'm really glad that everyone saw that, so I didn't do it in the toilet. Because I'd have to put the dryer on it, and our Mr. B moment, someone walked in. Dear me. Yeah. My waters have broke, I think. Good. So we're going to look. Praise the Lord. Showers of blessing. So we're going to look. We're going to look at 3 points of leaving the old and embracing the new. Everyone with me, church? First point, which is an interesting point. We have to be careful when we're journeying with God, because in difficult times, this is what my Bible tells me, in difficult times, we can go back to what we know best. We go back to what we know. Yes? In difficult times, you revert back to what you know. You see, the heartbreaking, incredible heart. I mean, you just think what God must have felt at this point. Well, not just this point. It was a repeated point that people, and sometimes we can be like this in life, after everything God done, it was, oh, we want to go back. We want to go back to what we know. You see, in Egypt, they had a purpose, which was to be a slave. They had a home, which was a confined place. They had an identity, yes, as slaves. They had predictability, yeah? Which we've got to create new habits if you want a new horizon, church. They were comfortable. They were on autopilot, yes? See, this is the truth. And it's something that you will see in society. Most people accept their lives. But the truth is, when we come to God, God asks us to start leading our lives. Are you with what I'm saying? You see, most people accept their lives. Where when we become a Christian, which can be challenging, God expects us to lead our lives. Because if God's involved in my life, I'm always following him. He's always leading me. I'm always being transformed from glory to glory. Yeah. Yes? And that's important. And I believe this morning that you believe God's got something more for your life. And the reason why I believe God's got something more for your life is because you sat here this morning. You've made it to church. Amen? You've made it. And something inside you is thinking, do you know what? You may be here for different reasons. But no, God's got you here. And you've got you here because you think, do you know what? God's got more for my life. I'm your senior pastor. God's got more for your life. God's got more for you. See, the challenge was when they hit a slight difficult time, what they knew more, because they knew more about their old life, they knew more about that than the God that they was following. Because they knew that, then they reverted back to their old life and their old way. And that's the greatest tragedy of the story, and it's the greatest tragedy in church. You know, it's the same bringing it up to date in the New Testament, where in the New Testament we get a talk about God saying these disciples, to say the Bible, it says that when Jesus spoke to them and said, follow me, what does it say? At once they dropped their nets and followed him. Yes? Then after, when Jesus has been crucified, what's the first thing the disciples go? What do they do? Instead of listening and trusting in God, being around the graveside saying, come on, Jesus, you said you're going to rise again. We're going to get a front row seat. What the Bible says, they all go back to their nets. Yeah? So it's a challenge that we're going to have to wrestle with in our lives. Because in this season, there was a command from Moses, and it says, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Great word. But if you don't know the God who says that, then that can be a problem. So my first point is this. For all of us, I don't know, I care how long, we've got an issue here. We'll just pray. Yeah, ambulance. Okay. Let's just pray together and just have a few moments together as we pray. Sorry, someone's just taken ill. Just make sure we give a space. Jesus. That's it. Just give them space. Do you want to pray? I need your help. Let's just pray. Rob, can we have the microphone on? Let's just pray.
Okay, we're just going to pray. We're going to pray for her. I'm just going to pray. An ambulance is on the way. Lord Jesus, thank you, God. God, I thank you that you are over Ruth's life, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you that you're a God who's in control. And right now, Lord Jesus, we pray, God, just be with her. Father God, right now, minister into her life, Jesus. Father God, heal her. Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, we give her to you, God. We put her before your throne, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you're a God who's in control and that you love us. God, we pray an ambulance will be here soon. We pray for the medics that are going to come. Lord Jesus, we just focus on you. We give this to you this morning, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.